So tonight we get to brag about Jesus. This message will focus on Jesus and the fact that nothing will be impossible with God. So before we begin the message, let's pray. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, you are so great to give us the privilege to worship you. And Lord Jesus, as we celebrate your advent, would you plant the seeds of the gospel, the good news of your coming to be with us in our hearts, that the seeds of the gospel would take root in good soil, to grow and flourish and bear much fruit to further your kingdom. Holy Spirit, as you are teaching us and guiding us with your word, we ask you to show us the beauty, the glory, and the majesty of Jesus. Help us in our unbelief, as well as our belief that nothing is impossible with you, Father God. We want to see that. We want to own that. We want to celebrate that. And it is in your great name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. In the scriptural accounts surrounding Jesus' advent, which are found, by the way, in the first and second chapters of the books of Matthew and Luke, there are events that seem impossible. For example, the angel Gabriel, sent from God, informed an elderly couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, that they would have a son, John, even though the wife was incapable of bearing children. A young couple, Joseph and Mary, betrothed to be married, were also informed by the angel Gabriel that the young woman, a virgin, would conceive and bear a child, and his name would be Jesus, the Son of God. And so we ask ourselves, how can a virgin conceive a child, much less conceive a child who is the Son of God? How can a couple well up in years have a child when the wife is considered barren? Impossible. It just can't happen. But what does the Word of God say? Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. And that's the text for the message tonight. And there are three points that I want us to take from this message tonight about nothing will be impossible with God. First of all, God is the God of promise. Second, God is the God of power. And third, God is the God of peace. Throughout Scripture, we see God is the God of promise. In fact, our senior pastor at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church, Pastor Dan Crevillion, has presented truths concerning these promises in his current preaching series from the book of Genesis. And one of these truths is that God always keeps his promises, even when they seem impossible. For example, God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, Israel. And in Genesis, as Pastor Dan has shared, you can just see it now. God shows Abraham the stars in the sky, and he says, count them if you can. And then God made the promise that, Abraham, your descendants will be as numerous as those stars. So shall your offspring be. How could a great nation, a multitude of people, be birthed from a man and his wife in their old age? Impossible, we say, but God kept his promise. And here's the main point I want us to take tonight about this promise. I want us to ponder this, that God made a promise which seemed impossible when he said that he would send his son, Jesus, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. But the prophet Isaiah wrote about that promise over 700 years before it happened. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, God's word says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Why would Jesus, the Son of God, condescend from glory on high, manifested as an infant, born in a lowly manger, come and be with people like you and me? Well, here's how the author of the Bible, God Himself, answers that question. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." You see, Jesus came to save sinners like you and me. In fact, God in Christ is the only one who can rescue sin-sick sinners like you and me from the darkness of sin and bring us into His marvelous light. God, in His immeasurable grace and mercy, keeps His promise that in Christ, those who receive Him and believe in His name will be set free from slavery to sin. In Christ means that the person who trusts in Him is a new creation, has eternal life, and the assurance of heaven. How can that be? How can that be? Sounds impossible, doesn't it? Think about it. I know my heart. It's deceitful. It's prideful. It's self-centered. It's lustful. And I'm thinking, how could that be true? And in fact, if you could see my thoughts, words, and actions from the last week, and in fact, no, I'll take that back, in the last hour, you'd be horrified. You would be horrified. Heaven for me? No way. Impossible. But what does God's Word say? All the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. Not in what you or I do or don't do. In other words, all. And I want to underline that all of God's promises are certain and true in Christ. And nothing or no one can change that truth. And that's why we can say with confidence that God is not only the God of promise, but He is also the God of power. God is all-powerful and omnipotent. His power is seen throughout the stories in the Bible, such as creation, parting the Red Sea, feeding the 5,000, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The power of God is unlimited, it's incomprehensible, it's unparalleled and unfathomable. Nothing is too difficult for God. Let's see what Jeremiah says about that very fact, as he was inspired by God to write. Take a look here. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. He writes, "Ah, Lord God, it is You who have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and by Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You. Indeed, nothing is too difficult for God because of His great power." Yet, I want us to focus on this one aspect of that, the fact that God's power, listen closely, reflects the abundance of His grace and mercy. Consider the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Think about that. Jesus and His disciples had reached the end of the day and they were weary. If it had been up to the disciples, they would have sent the crowd away. They were so skeptical that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish would feed that many people. Feeding 5,000 and then some? Impossible. And yet, in His power, Jesus' abundant grace and mercy was reflected as He had compassion on the people and did the impossible. Scripture says that all ate as much as they wanted, and there was food left over. In fact, there was so much food left over that it filled 12 baskets. You know, we get the fact that Jesus, in His power, did the impossible. He fed 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But what about the 12 baskets of food that were left over? What's the significance of that? It's so easy just to pass over that. Well, think about this. God, in His all-powerful, all-knowing wisdom and insight, doesn't do things halfway. In fact, when He accomplishes the impossible, He provides in an overabundance, an overflow, a lavishing of His grace and mercy that is incomprehensible. Do you and I believe that God is a good, good Father? Do we trust that in His power, He'll provide more than we could ever ask or imagine? Earlier this month, the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church, all 6 of us, had a retreat. And the purpose was to seek God's face in prayer for guidance in shepherding and leading His church. With a daunting agenda, I was thinking, there's so much here. There's so much to think about. There's no way we're going to do this. There's no way. Impossible. Kind of like the skepticism of the disciples with the 5,000 plus people that they would be fed. But you know what? In the power of the Holy Spirit, He accomplished far more than we elders could ever have asked for or imagined. That's our good, good Father. That's His power reflected in an abundance of grace and mercy. And that grace and mercy that we see reflected in His power yields a peace beyond understanding. Truly, God is the God of peace and comfort. And we see that powerfully demonstrated by the impossibility of a virgin conceiving and bearing the Christ child, the incarnate God, God Himself in the flesh. This good news was communicated from angels to shepherds out in the field on that night so long ago. And you know the story. The shepherds' initial reaction was fear. They were afraid. But that fear was replaced by peace as they were comforted by these words. Here's what God says in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, and also verse 14. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." The good news of great joy is that Christ is Lord. And that's true right now, tonight. That was true over 2,000 years ago, and it will be true 2,000 years from now. And if I were to ask you, how's your joy on this Christmas Eve? What would you say? Is our joy found in Jesus? Or do we allow circumstances to dictate too much of our thoughts, words, and actions? Perhaps you're saying to yourself right now as you sit in your seat, but Steve, you don't know what I have to deal with day in and day out. There's discouragement, there's frustration, there's loneliness. Things don't change. You're in good company. And so my question is, how can we find peace and joy in all of that mess? Impossible. But be of good courage and don't lose heart. Because in the mess, Jesus came to be our peace. Our youth pastor at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church, our worship leader tonight, Ryan Perry, recently preached from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 on this very fact that we should not lose heart when we look at our lives and we look at the world and all we see is despair and chaos. In all of our weakness, in all of our failures, and in all of our suffering, the gospel and the power of God in Christ will bring peace and joy in the life of the person who is secure in Him. Are you secure in Christ tonight? Are you at peace with God? Does it sound impossible? It is impossible for us, but not for God. That's the good news, church. Except for the power of the Holy Spirit, who propels us forward in trusting in Christ alone, we can have peace with God. We cannot have peace with God except for the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's the good news of God's Word. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus is for anyone who trusts in Him. He Himself is our peace. That's what it means to be secure in Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. Is that you? Have you received God's gracious gift of being set free from slavery to sin, which is offered only in Christ alone? Are we trusting in Him as our only hope for today, tomorrow, and eternity? Here's a few final thoughts. The world says the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is impossible to believe. It doesn't line up with culture. It's upside down. It's foolishness and a stumbling block. Even so, do you and I have a heartfelt belief that says, I'm going to trust in Your power, Father God, and believe that nothing is too difficult for You? You remember the story I shared with you about Abraham, how God took him out and told him to look at the stars. If you can count them, that's how many descendants are going to come from you, Abraham. And Scripture says that Abraham believed the Lord and God counted it to him as righteousness. And Mary, the one who was chosen by God to give birth to the Christ child, the Messiah, the Anointed One, she said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to Your word." How do you and I respond when God says, trust me in the impossible? Do we rest secure and content in Jesus as our promise, our power, and our peace, even when all seems impossible? When we pray, do we settle for less and pray for the possible? Or do we pray that God will do the impossible, trusting that He can do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. If you think about it, believing anything less than that means our view of God is too small and our expectations of Him are too low. How about asking God to do seemingly impossible things, such as bringing revival to our local area, to our nation, and to the world? Do we ask Him to do whatever it takes in order that His beauty, glory, and majesty would be made much of in our marriages, our parenting, and our sharing the gospel with family and friends? Would we say in our prayers, "Let it be to me according to your word"? In closing, I'd like to share a verse from Scripture that consummates the beauty and the glory of God in Christ and all that He has been, is now, and forever will be. This is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. God's Word says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Church, that's the God of promise. That's the God of power. And that's the God of peace. That's Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father God, You are truly the good, good Father. Thank You that Your Word is full of promises which all find their yes in Jesus. Be praised that Your Word's power reflects Your abundant grace and mercy toward people like us who don't deserve it. Be exalted that Your Word is peace, which goes beyond understanding and comforts us, that You are always with us and for us. And in all of this, that You, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, may dwell in our hearts through faith. Thanks be to You, Father, for Your inexpressible gift of the beauty, majesty, and glory in Christ alone. What a Savior, what a friend, and it is in Your name alone, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.